Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM, your podcast for practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today, I'm joined by Mike Rizzo, who is the founder of MoPros Marketing Ops, and I'm super pumped to talk with him today. We've started to work with a fair number of clients, and they come in and their tech stack is unsurprisingly a bit of a mess. And they just are way overburdened by bloat and just a ton of stuff going on. So really to help simplify how you should approach your operations, I brought in the, what some people would call the MoPro. And I made that joke before we started recording. Mike did cringe. He is still cringing. And I'm just excited to dig into it. So Mike, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here and talking Scrappy ABM, Scrappy Mops, all the things.
All right. Love it. So before we started recording, we were talking through, again, there's just a lot of people right now that are looking at their tech stack. They're looking at everything that they built operationally. And either there were too many people in the systems and there are governance and compliance things. So you've got like a billion forms and workflows where you just have a way over, stacked tech stack that's just got everything doing different things and nothing speaking well together. So again, if you are coming up for air for the first time and looking around being like, this is a mess, where you're entering into a new organization, like, how do you even start to think through simplifying your operations?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. I was just approached actually by a wonderful founder of a coaching business 2 days ago from this recording date anyway. And they're going from zero to one. So they have nothing, which is awesome. Like, what do we do? What should our tech stack be? And the same principles that I talked to them about would apply, I think, here in this example or to your question. And really that starts with what is the DNA of the business, right? And what are the mechanics or the levers that you want to be able to leverage as you go to grow your business? And in this particular case, I brought up some things, having built a community and knowing that I might want to gate certain aspects of it to the free members versus the paid members versus the whoever they are. I started to look at what is my tech stack capable of and where do I want to invest? And that begins that sort of forces the business owners and the people involved in the go-to-market strategy to do what I always encourage them to do and say, begin with the end in mind, right? If you're going to build a dashboard, what do you want that dashboard to say? What does your ideal view of that report look like? And as soon as you start to explain what that ideal view is, an operations person is going to go, here's all the underlying data I have to collect to be able to standardize all of that information to tee it up in this way. So begin with the end in mind. So I think my answer to your question is begin with the end in mind. Think about the levers you want to pull on. And it doesn't mean you have to deconstruct your entire business, but a good marketing ops, rev ops professional needs to understand the motion of the ocean and what that business wants to do and the markets they want to enter to be able to enable systems to support the people, create a process, and then build the right technology to do exactly those two things in tandem. But it requires people and it requires conversation and like a good understanding of what the business is trying to do. Very tactically though, I would say get in and export the data. Built a little tool. This is not a plug for my tool because the tool is totally in alpha. So you're welcome to ping me if you want to help me figure it out. But I built a little tool called Audit Hub. And it's exactly for this, like, purpose for me as a practitioner, because I would go in to an account and I'd be like, all right, let's just look at the properties that we have on the objects. And so for those of you out there who might not know what I'm saying when I say objects, contacts, companies, deals or opportunities, depending on what CRM you're using, accounts, right? These are companies as well. Forms, emails, these are all different kinds of objects inside of your systems, right? And those objects, a person record inside of your database has many data layers, right? There's their first name and the last name and the email and all the other things that you want to know about them. So normally, as a marketing ops person, you're going to want to go in and say, all right, out of all the properties that I know about a particular object, how many of them actually have data in there, period? Whether it's good or bad, like how many of them actually have data? And then you start to piecemeal your way through object by object, layer by layer, data point to my data point. And you identify what are the ones that actually matter? What are the 50 fields that are most important to the motion and levers of our business to help us decide where we want to go next or where we want to spend our next dollars? And let's focus on making sure that those data points are A, being populated in some way, shape or form, right? Whether that's form submissions, enrichment or whatever. And then B, that they're actually real valid like values, right? Somebody didn't just like face smash the keyboard to fill out the form. And so I'd say, nobody does that. And so I'd say very tactically, like that's something you can do is you jump in, you work with a marketing ops professional consultant, or if you can handle it yourself, do it yourself and really start to just try to understand what are the underlying data properties that I have in my system of record and which ones really matter, and then start to break it down from there. That was a really long answer, sorry.
No, but I mean, it was exactly, because I'm thinking through, again, for people that have been listeners for a little bit, we talk about this concept of the activation playbook, and it's like, what's your trigger point? And my girl thing you just walked through is like, how do you find a trigger? What's the data point that is, this is the action that somebody is taking, or this is the information that we need to actually personalize outbound messaging and actually know who to go after? And I'm just thinking through, everything you just outlined is how we actually audit to find trigger points. And it's crazy when you actually dig into the data. We were working with a client that had the field like scraped competitor data. And for 10 people, there was information on it. And then the other rest, there was nobody. And I brought that up at a meeting. I was like, hey, we're doing our audits. We found this property. There's like not a lot of data there. And they're like, oh yeah, we forgot about this. We get an Excel spreadsheet every single week emailed to us that has the competitors that has the information that outlines the competitors that our target accounts are actively using. I was like, that's pretty great information that should probably make it into your CRM. It would really help your sales team know how to like personalize their outreach.
Yep.
And it's just like those little things that at some point somebody was like, we need to make this property. So they made the property and then maybe they moved, maybe they got a promotion, whatever. And just you have so many abandoned properties that have no information.
Yep. Yeah. And there's two things that I'll say about that, right? One is, and this is a product that Marketing Ops does own, so it is absolutely a shameless plug, it's documentation, right? So like MarTech Guru is a product that we're now equipping our members with because it's core to their function. And so documentation, nobody wants to read it. I think today's Marketing Ops Appreciation Day is when we're recording this episode, by the way. And Sydney Mulligan actually did a post today. It was She had three wishes for people on Marketing Ops Appreciation Day. And I think wish number two was read the documentation before you slide into my DM, because you'll discover things that really matter. And I think there is this really big gap in the market in general, as I think about my engagements with some of the clients that I've had recently, where, you know, here's your go-to-market team and your email marketers are like, hey, we want to target an audience, but I don't know how to even build the active list. I don't know how to pull the list. What properties do we even have? And so there's this thing that I'm sure some organization out there will do that's in the marketing automation space, which will start to like surface, hey, these are the fields you most commonly use to do activities. But God, wouldn't that help a whole bunch of marketers, right? Because to your point, if in that example, obviously, if there's no data in it, maybe you're not using it that much, but somewhere, somehow we need to surface this thing. And then the second part of a point that I was going to make when you shared all that is really just comes down to being intentional, right? And just like honing in on a particular strategy. So like you identify a field that looks like it could be valuable. You just have to create an operational process that then supports not only filling in that data, but like notifying the people. And then suffice it to say, sorry, maybe not going to make a lot of friends with this, but there's a lot of salespeople that are lazy. And so I just, and that's okay, right? Like, you have a really hard job. You don't want to have to think any harder than you have to, right? And so can this thing just say, what should I say next, right? And tell me what to do with this information. And so just because you operationalize filling in the data and giving it to your sales reps doesn't necessarily mean that they know what to do with that, right? If we're trying to sell a sponsor on marketing ops, Mopsapalooza conference, and I handed a bunch of information over to a sales rep, they're not going to necessarily know how to contextualize the pains of the conversations in the marketplace to say, hey, ABC Corp, guess what? I'll bet you could solve this problem that our community talks about all the time. Do you want to help create some content that supports this? And they don't know how to necessarily put that messaging together. So try to take that next step and be intentional about the data that you've got. And that intentionality and that focus can get you yield the results, right? Like, it's not hard. It just takes focus. And yeah. It's not overly creative either, right? Like, it's just identifying and focusing in on one problem and not getting distracted. And then ideally not forgetting that the field was
creative. Yeah. Yeah. So again, that's like the audit on, again, contacts, companies, deals, any other objects that exist within your CRM or marketing automation platform. I'm curious though, as we think through, okay, that's how we clean up the initial stage. But what about all these other things that are happening in the background? Like, again, I'm sure you've seen the organizations that like build that evergreen campaign from 2009 that's like still running in the background. Like, how do you start recommending to systematically look at what is everything that's currently actively running and how do we assess keep, kill, optimize?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I don't know that there's a silver bullet answer. A marketing ops person's job might be to identify that you've had things that look like they might be stale, but they may not know that it's their responsibility to surface, here's what's happening. It is not necessarily their responsibility to immediately have an opinion on whether or not it's working, but they could propose ways to work with the team to decide whether or not that's working. As a marketing ops person, it's hard because you can very quickly move into the strategy like role and the, hey, I think this is working or we should try this next, but that's not really your job. You're not meant to try to suggest what you could try next from a campaign perspective. You are meant to try to facilitate, let's not let that thing get stale. Let's create a system to review, analyze, and process whether it's working or not. And create those procedures. So I think I just want to be careful of assuming that your marketing ops person is going to go in and be like, all right, let me tell you all the things that are working. And then for the things that aren't working, let me give you a bunch of ideas of like how to improve upon that. No, I'm going to do that in partnership with your go-to-market strategist and your team. And then I want to equip you with the ways to scale from there. I can tell you a marketing ops person can step in and say there probably should not be 150, 300 forms in a map, right? You did something wrong.
Yeah.
We did not create the right system to educate the go-to-market team on when you go to build a new landing page, you don't build a new form too. You use the one form and then talk to us if you need to have a different form. So those are areas where they could say, this is going to cause a problem here. Right.
I appreciate the call out of there isn't a silver bullet and also like the helpful delineation of roles. I think specifically there's this running joke of I've got a client that will post this meme. That's when you ask a marketing manager that, or when a marketing manager says that they love their job, they mean they love everything because everything is their job. So like we often will throw a ton of stuff that really shouldn't belong to a specific individual, but it's because we just don't know where else to put it. So I love the call out that like marketing ops is not going to necessarily provide every component of the strategy of how to improve something. You're just going to surface, these are the things that are currently happening. These things look like they could be fixed, but let's work together to solve for it. On that note, I do want to come up because you had mentioned something at the beginning around the goal of marketing ops is to begin with the end in mind and to help people actually see their vision operationalized and lived out. So I'm curious in your experience, you also called out that with the contact properties and the deal properties and the object properties, like you pick a strategy and you stick with it. So how would you help people understand and recommend around the shifting strategies Because I think you and I have both seen in the past 4 years, it feels like there's a new strategy every 3 months. So I'm curious on that front around what's the appropriate level to balance. These are things that are campaign specific or strategy specific versus kind of the evergreen foundational marketing operations.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I'm reflecting on like my client engagements now. I think it comes down to architecture and then proposing. And this, I think this comes with experience in general. Like I don't expect anyone inside of their first 3 years, and unless they're like a savant or something, but anyone inside of their first 3 years might not be able to do some of this. But as you get experience, it feels a little strange to suggest that here are ways you might want to measure your business. And here are the foundational elements that we need in place to be able to enable you to do that. And by that, very concretely, the example that I have to pull from is in the HubSpot tech stack, there you might have a go-to-market motion where you're thinking about ABM or you're thinking about PLG or what have you. And the executives are trying to understand what's working and what's not. Maybe you got both those plays happening, right? That means architecturally, we have to decide, because of the tech stack that we have in front of us, and I'm just going to center on HubSpot because it's what I've been working with most of my career, but just for an example sake, their campaign object is meant to have many assets associated to the campaign. It's very different than the Salesforce campaign object. The Salesforce campaign object is you can put whatever you want in it, right? There's a whole bunch of stuff. There's five layers of like sub children that can live under this thing. That's not currently at this time of this recording how HubSpot has architected their campaign up, which if you stop and think about why did they do it this way? Then you can try to fit your strategies around what is the intention of how to best leverage this to get the end result. And so I might, rather than saying one email is a campaign, right? That's not the right way to think about it, right? Your campaigns might be a persona-based strategy. And you have lots of different landing pages that share different products and features with that particular persona all rolled up underneath. Because at the end of the quarter or the end of the year, your intention is to go back and say, okay, our hypothesis is that we will be more successful at selling product A versus product B to persona number one. And in persona number two, we believe product B will be better than product A. And you want to be able to answer that question. And so it's an architecture thing. And so if you're having that level of a conversation as a marketing ops professional, and you've been around the block a few times, and you could say, hey, let's think about the architecture of how we're going to set up some of these, whether it's data layers, dashboards, or campaign strategies, that can actually help organizations stay focused on a particular tactic, right? Because you're forcing them into this box, more or less, that says, make your bets, right?
Yeah.
Create your hypothesis, make your bets, and then let's go measure them. Let's go continuously try that same procedure over and over again so that we can decide whether or not some of those things are working. And then in a year, let's switch it. We can change our campaign architecture and try a new tactic and measure things differently. And I think that is probably the best way for you as a marketing ops professional or anyone that is a company trying to work with marketing ops to basically try to stay focused and not. Because when one email is a campaign, like your strategy can change every day.
Yeah.
And you have no way to measure what's working and what's not.
Yeah. And it almost feels like a fuck word. It feels like what you're referencing is that often the strategies change because we don't know what's working and what's not, because we don't have the right foundation to even measure success. So what you're referencing,
you haven't defined what success is. You haven't defined how you want to measure success, right? Begin with the end in mind and hypothesize. Your hypothesis could just be that we do better at selling to, I don't know, companies that are enterprise versus SMB. And that's how you architect your stuff. It could be that my hypothesis is that product A will sell better than product B, and I don't even care about the personas. So all I'm going to do is just spam my database about products. But you're going to architect your go-to-market motion to measure that. And if you have that intention, you'll do better, right? You won't jump all over the place. And then all of a sudden, everybody's, okay, does that fit our hypothesis? We're going to do a webinar next month.
okay, which audience for who to compete against which hypothesis, right? It can't just be a brand new random one, right?
I don't know. Like, that's my take on it. I don't know if that's the right answer though.
What's helpful is it reminds me of an episode that we just did a couple of episodes back of the reason sales and marketing isn't largely aligned is that no one's ever sat down to define what we're doing. Nobody knows what an MQL is. No one knows what an SQL is. No one knows what an actual opportunity is. Once an opportunity, we don't have clear definitions for our deal stages. So no wonder nobody's aligned. We're all saying the same words, but we mean different things. So what you are doing is taking those definitions and then turning them into data that is objective that then everybody can look at and then understand, are we winning or are we losing? So when you make a strategic shift, it's not a gut feeling. It's a foundational, we understand how our campaigns are performing and as a result can make informed decisions moving forward.
Yeah, totally. And you're, to your point, you're driving alignment around, are we in agreement that this is the hypothesis of our business right now, the way we want to sell and go to market, and we're going to measure it this way, sales and marketing, let's get aligned. And if there's alignment there, you can come together weekly, quarterly, whatever, and decide on, is it working or is it not? And the marketing ops team is going to have a much better job understanding what are the core data points that I need to know about my contacts, companies, and deals to be able to show you the progression of that journey, that customer journey, to facilitate measuring whether or not that hypothesis is being fulfilled. And it just creates alignment all the way around. You can build, if you're a SVP of marketing or a CMO, you can build teams around just the movement between lead to MQL, MQL to SQL, and those conversion rates, and trying to create some level of standards, whether that's by conversion rate, like speed or velocity or whatever. You could build entire teams just focused on those two conversion points, right? When you know what the overarching hypothesis is. Because now you're like, hey, it looks like our velocity to go from lead to MQL is whatever, 365 days. Like, how do we decrease that by 20% or whatever? And so like but what happens is you have to understand, like, what is the definition of a lead? What is the definition of an MQL and SQL and so forth? Make sure everybody's in agreement. And then you could put people in charge of that metric on your marketing team. But your marketing ops team is cool. I did it. I built you the layers that help you measure this thing. And I can trust that I can equip you with the tools to help you go influence those metrics. Right.
Yeah. So as I'm listening to this, I hear three, what I would say, clear next steps for everybody. One would be ensure that there's clear definitions on what we're actually trying to accomplish as a business and what all of those different things mean. Again, yes, that's your clear definitions around your life cycle stages. Nobody wants to sit down and define those things, but definitions for what everything means, nobody knows what they're actually measuring up against. Yes, document them so they don't change next month. And that first thing. Second thing, it sounds like everybody needs to do a bit of a deep dive on their existing data sets to understand what's the contact information that we have today? What's the deal information? What's the company information? How are we capturing all this through our workflows? What are we triggering through our automation? And again, I appreciate the call out of it's not marketing ops job to then solve everything. It's to raise the issues and come up with viable solutions, but then work together with the rest of the team to figure that out. And then it sounds like from there, again, we're making it sound really easy. Probably could take a couple of months to do all of that work. But feasibly, it could be at the time of this recording, could be a Q2 project. So that you can then more easily, maybe not fully, but more easily step into Q3 with clarity around some of the campaigns that you could run. So from there, it's then, what are our hypotheses? One of those hypotheses could be, should we build an ABM program? Yes or no. And then you actually run the campaigns where operations is ensuring that there's clarity and an objective view of how everything is functioning.
Yep. 100%.
I feel good. Then enlightening. It's been a very helpful episode because, again, normally we dig into like specific tactical playbooks, but the more I've been working with clients, there's just this underlying, if the right ops aren't in place, the tactical playbooks don't matter because you don't know what you're doing. So it's just that simple. So if somebody is interested in learning more about Mike and MoPros and they enjoyed this conversation, maybe they want more like this conversation, Mike, where would you point all the people?
I would point them to marketingops.com. So marketingops.com. It's a community and private network for a bunch of marketing ops nerds. We have a podcast called OpsCast, so you can hear more from me and from others in our community on topics similar to this. And and then they can come to Mopsapalooza and really go deep. We're doing that in November this year. So yeah, come hang out.
I love it. Mike, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM. We hope you all enjoyed. Thanks. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact Scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.